Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off the first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoirestyle/livingfully. That's armoirestyle, armoirestyle/livingfully to get up to 50% off your first month and never have to worry about what to wear again. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz, and with plans starting at $69 a month, members have access to a rotating closet of 75,000 items by hundreds of top designers. Personalized closet. The styles show up to your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. We all know the feeling. You open your closet, it's full, but you have quite literally nothing to wear. Armoire will help all of us never to feel this way again. They allow you to rent high-quality designer clothes for every single occasion. Did I mention that Armoire is also women-founded and women-led? They even spotlight women-owned designers on the website. I love that I can support a business that's built by women like me. Try Armoire today. As women, we all know what it's like to be on a hormonal roller coaster. I certainly know personally what it's like, cravings, ups and downs, all the things that come along with it and being a woman. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier by creating supplements with science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Adaptogens help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. This isn't just for women going through things like menopause. Women with symptoms, any symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopausal symptoms that can put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes, night sweats, low mood, poor sleep, or the feeling of just being tired all the time. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is literally sold like every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off the entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code LIVINGFULLY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code LIVINGFULLY for 15% off today. Are you ready to start living your best life today? Hey y'all, I'm Mallory and welcome to the Living Fully podcast. I'm a wife, mom, and entrepreneur here to encourage you toward a life of joy and fulfillment. My heart of big dreams took me a long way from growing up on a farm in Kentucky, from Miss America and the Amazing Race, all the way to writing a best-selling book and creating 2 multi-million dollar merchandise lines. Through this crazy journey, I've had a lot of highs and some lows, but I found my true self along the way. So now my hope is to motivate you to find your own version of living fully. Here, we believe you have a choice in your legacy. So let's start living it out today. I'm Mallory, and this is the Living Fully podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. I'm thrilled today because I always love bringing on a friend who is also a great mother, a wise business person, and someone who has been through a big life shift or transition and had the courage to pivot and built something really amazing from taking that leap of faith. And that person is Mary Lawless Lee. You guys may know her on Instagram as Happily Gray. And she's actually been in the space longer than I have. So we are about to have a really amazing conversation today on all things business and motherhood and friendship. And I'm so excited to bring Mary on the podcast today. So without further ado, Mary Lawless Lee. I'm so excited to have Mary in my office today, because I really love it when I get to have my friends on my podcast.
I know, we're just chatting. I'm so happy to be here.
We had to stop talking because we were talking about everything that we need to talk about on the podcast. Just blah, blah, blah.
That's how it always is with us, though.
I know it is. When we sit by each other at events, it's just like, you know, we're not listening to the speaker talk. Me and Mary are just like, blah, blah, blah.
Life, business, all the things.
I know, because there's so much going on.
Always.
I said on the last podcast, they were like, how do you do it all with all the irons in the fire? I was like, well, I need to get in the iron manufacturing business because I don't see how that changes. There's a lot of irons in the fire.
I know.
And you have them too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3 kids, another fourth one is a business. And yes. Just, I mean, it's full. Life mm-hmm. is full right now and it's mm-hmm. nonstop.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. trying to keep my sanity through it all.
And we do it to ourselves, you know, because we keep having the babies and we keep growing the businesses and it's like all good stuff, but it does take balance and it does take like us keeping our feet on the ground. And like, that's what I'm excited to talk to you about today, because I honestly think, Mary, you've been doing it longer than I have. I'm just excited to talk about that and the transition and then the businesses that you built from it and then how it shifted with having kids and all the things that you've gone through along the way.
Many seasons. Yeah. A lot learned and still learning. Still learning. Still trying to figure it out. Which that's why every time I see you, I'm like, here's like 50 questions.
I know. And I ask you 50 questions.
Because I don't understand. How are you doing this?
This is, I wish you guys could be privy to these conversations, but today you get to be privy to one. So I start out every podcast. This is the Living Fully podcast. And I start out every podcast this season asking, who in your life helps you live most fully and why?
Oh, I love that. I love that. Probably my husband, because he holds me the most accountable. And, you know, like what we were just saying, that doesn't always look like, you know, pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
And he's always my accountability of like, but really? But really, like, what are those long-term goals? Is this really a part of that?
That is a gift.
He makes me really evaluate and discern, like, how I'm spending my time. And I'm always one of those people that I'm like, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And I get excited. But at the end of the day, if there's nothing left, then, you know, what are you doing it for? And he's my, he really like checks me, which is good.
Madison. Everybody loves Madison. I also love that you met and got married in 7 months because.
So fast.
That is, I love those stories and I love it when it works out because it's like working out. I've been around you and Madison and I think you guys are in it for the long haul.
We are in it.
You're a good match.
Well,
for sure.
It took some time. I mean, I went through a divorce at 22.
Yes.
And I mean, there's been so many lessons learned to get, when I met him, it just, I just knew. There was like this, this gut, heart. I knew. And within 3 months, you know, we both had kind of vocalized that to each other. And then we got married within 7 months. But yeah, I think like going through, you know, that lesson so young, that really helped just give me the perspective of like, what am I looking for? And who do I want to build a life with? Because it's not all about the love, because we both know that's out the door very quickly.
That's really true.
Yeah. It's who you can do life with and raise kids with. Yeah. And that's another level of commitment and trust and respect.
Okay. I love that answer. And I love like talking about discernment and trust and like all the words that you just said in there. I'm like, I'm skipping forward to this question because it's really important because a lot of people that see you online right now, they see all of the beautiful life that you're living and all the beautiful photography and the high fashion and the Milan Fashion Week and New York Fashion Week. And she's at the Dior show and then she's at the, you know, she's everywhere.
Oh, it's not that glamorous.
She's everywhere, okay? And a lot of people might think like, wow, you know, what fashion institute did you go to? Or what, you know, was your mom into fashion? Or like, you know, they think that you came from that world to achieve and get that far in that world, but you were an ICU nurse.
So starkly different.
So starkly different. And I want to talk a little bit about that because you were an ICU nurse living in a totally different, you're in Texas, right? Married to a surgeon who is very black and white thinking, very, I mean, I want my surgeon to be black and white thinking. Right. I don't want him to be thinking gray. I need him to know the black and the white.
Know what he's doing.
for good reason, you know. So you were working as an ICU nurse and spending time on these floors where people are like between life and death, you know. And like what a, I think nurses and teachers are like, are the angels on earth.
Truly.
You know? Truly. And here is the piece. I want you to talk a little bit about that. But the piece of the story that is so inspiring to me and something that I know that people can gain from today on this podcast is like you started to feel this like tug on yourself to do something different. And you wanted to start this blog, which is like such a totally, it's a 180. What gave you the courage to, you know, what did that tug even look like to make that shift? Because here you are now. So clearly you made it really well.
Well, I mean, it does feel like, you know, what I did back then and now, world's different. But, you know, in a lot of ways, I've always had a creative side to me, but it was no denying. When I was a kid, I used to say, I want to be a nurse. I want to take care of people. I have that big side of my heart. And I think it's important and what I stepped into is realizing you don't have to be one way. We all, there can be multiple different paths. And when I was a nurse, I was working 3 days a week. You work 3 days a week, 12 to 14 hour shifts. I was working at night. And I would come home and write. Writing's always been a passion mm-hmm. of mine, and I love fashion. So my mom wasn't in fashion, and she wouldn't be bothered by me saying that. She's not like a big fashion woman. Uh-huh. My grandmother was, and my older sister was, and I was always drawn to it. And so I found myself as a release and as a way to kind of come down off of being in the ICU and these intense shifts, an experience and a time in my life that I value the most is those nights, getting mm-hmm. to work with those people and being so close to life or death. And that's actually the name Happily Gray was inspired by, the experience of nursing, because those nights taught me is life is not black or white.
Yeah.
It's not simple. There are not simple answers to everything. And I found myself living in this gray space. Mm-hmm. And then I would come home from that, and in a way it felt creative to me. And so I started to write about it. And that kind of journey of kind of debriefing from those intense shifts through writing evolved into a creative outlet. And I started mm-hmm. writing, okay, what do I like to write about? What takes me totally, you know, out of body and just kind of turns my head off? And that was yeah. fashion. And that was like, and not just fashion, but fabrics and colors and textures and leaning into arts, because everything kind of in a way inspires each other. And so yeah. that's when I paid my friend $50 to start Happily Gray. But Happily Gray was, that name was inspired because of me just realizing the gray space in life. Yeah. And I grew up in a small town, and it was, you know, somewhat presented as black or white. And I am so thankful for the morals and values and
oh, yeah.
what my parents instilled in me. But in a small town, it's inevitable. It's a bit of a bubble. And so
yeah, I grew up in the same yeah, situation.
Realizing the world's much bigger and just the perspective and just the respect of all different types of journeys yeah. is really what inspired that Happily Gray, the gray space. Mm-hmm. And so that turned into like the creative outlet of fashion. And believe me, no one knew what a blog was. Instagram and Pinterest hadn't even launched.
So when was this? What year was this?
13 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Maybe even 14
years ago.
Yeah, you beat me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was forever ago. And I mean, I paid my friend $50 and everyone thought I was crazy, but I wasn't advertising it. There was no pictures of me. It was just me writing about yeah. fashion and what I liked. And so then but with the launch of Instagram and Pinterest, I learned like, oh man, okay, you have to have a picture. Mm-hmm. And so I was taking pictures of other people. And then I realized, okay, I need to take pictures of my outfits. And so I was so uncomfortable with the idea of being in front of a camera that I would, every shot of me the first 4 years, my head is turned.
I know.
Have on sunglasses.
Yes.
And I got the nickname as Messy Bun. Because I always had a bun in the back, and I was called Messy Bun because I never would show my face because I hated that aspect of it, but yeah. it was important. And now, I mean, several many years passed, it's like that's how you connect is really, you know. But it was that career shift was never really intentional, but it came to a point of me realizing like, oh, there is something here, and trusting my gut. And just like letting that passion lead,
yeah.
letting that courage propel me forward. But it definitely wasn't easy. And I can tell you, I had a lot of people that looked at me like, including my parents who
yeah.
paid for college, were like, what yeah. are you doing? And even when I was, you know, making more than what nurses should make well above, mm-hmm. my dad still looked at me like I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't an easy leap, but it kind of, you know, was clear to me to
yeah.
to go for it and, you know, to follow that.
For sure. There's a quote in the book that says, like, there's so much more freedom in not knowing. That is what Happily Gray is all about. It's a return to wonder, to joy, and to the thrill of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
The thrill of uncertainty. A lot of people don't feel a thrill about uncertainty.
I know, but that is what that experience of being a critical care nurse taught me and like let me be more comfortable with and really lean into of leaning into that vulnerability and just trust, you know, trust in
yeah.
and you and the path and a bigger, you know, a bigger picture. It sounds kind of willy-nilly, but I felt that so deeply
yeah.
through working in the ICU mm-hmm. and learning that it's not always black or white and there's not yeah. always going to be an answer. And sometimes that's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what our path holds, but we can do a lot to, you know, manifest and tribe at the end of the day.
You know, I wonder if the closeness to life and death inspired you to just be like, I do not even care. Like, I'm going for this. I think that so many times in our lives when we are like faced with something that is so grave in our own lives, it makes us be like, I ain't living this way. Like, totally. I'm changing my life because life is so short. And I'm like, I wonder if it was, if that helped facilitate that leap for you. Because so many people don't take the leap. Mm-hmm. And I want to shake people. And that's what we talk about on the podcast all the time. Because I'm like, this is your only life.
It's too fleeting. It's too fleeting. Absolutely. That was like the backbone and catalyst of me realizing, because every shift, or, you know, there were those moments of realizing how short it is. And I mean, gosh, I remember my grandfather as he was dying, his last words were, it's too short. Like, you really have to go after what you want. And it's just, I think at that point that made me not feel so precious about it, and to just go for it and have that like grumption and grit. Yeah. You know, I always say, like, nursing, it taught me the deepest sense of gratitude and grit.
Yeah.
Like, so much. It was such a humbling journey, but then it also really made me like just really inspired to just go after exactly what it is that I wanted. And I just kept having fun in that, and it kept growing. And then there was, you know, social platforms that really propelled it. And honestly, the timing, luck, and just a creative outlet just kind of propelled that that path forward.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. That definitely gave me the perspective of, I remember talking to my mom after shifts, you know, almost after every shift, to telling her, like, I just can't believe how short. And I had patients that passed at 40, you know, at 60, sometimes at 85, but even just the young ones, it really, really puts it in perspective for you.
Yeah. And to not be, I like what you just said, don't be so precious about it. Like, just go. Like, get that grit and that, like, you can do it. And it's, I don't know what it's going to look like, but, like, you can make that leap. And so as you started growing, the social media apps, you know, you just said the word luck, you know, the luck of that Pinterest emerges, and then the Instagram emerges. And I started, you know, maybe 8 to 10 years ago, like, depending on what you call a start, and blogs were big, but like Instagram was not really a thing that much yet. And it's so intimidating. And here's what I think a lot of people that want to get into this space, they're extremely intimidated by the pressure that they put on themselves to show up the way that they think they have to show up on these apps. And we almost were blessed in a way that the apps were new because we didn't have to really like get perfect, because Instagram in the beginning was like, you couldn't even put a picture from your camera roll on Instagram. You really had to take it to the phone.
It was a free for all. Yes.
It was there a free for all. There was no,
like, pre-editing, pre-shooting. No, you took it in the app.
Lark and Valencia and black and white.
Yeah. And everyone's kind of looked the same.
Everyone's looked the same. And like food pictures were really big, and that was really easy to take. And like, so, you know,
flat
we were
flat lays.
I got a piece of marble from Home Depot because my place that I was living was looked just terrible. And I got a piece of marble so I could do my flat lays.
Literally did the same thing. Mine was a giant oversized cutting board that I got from Williams Sonoma. And that's where I would arrange, like, I mean, for 45 minutes, I'd be doing flat lay photos. Long live those days.
Long live. Don't you wish we could go back to the flat lays? Then we had to get the DSLRs out. Yeah. So I can remember when I started, because like you and I have known each other for a long time, but 10 years ago, you were doing really well. You and Cassie Kelly, who is our mutual friend, who had a blog called Womanista. So Happily Gray and Womanista were like my ideals. And I can remember, like, all I would wear was cowboy boots. And one of my friends, who I was borrowing her clothes because I couldn't afford to get the clothes, she's like, you got to stop wearing those cowboy boots. And I was like, you think? She's like, yeah. Did you see Happily Gray and Womanista wearing cowboy boots with every outfit? And I was like, you're right.
Oh my gosh.
So I sold all my cowboy boots.
No, you have to just be whoever it is and whatever.
I learned that.
Yeah. You have to lean into whatever it is that is you.
You do. And the authenticity piece is something that you learn. And gosh, I hate it. And like now, authenticity is overused. And the phrase authenticity is overused is also overused. So I think that showing up as who you are, it's going to go so much further on these apps.
Truly.
And so I admire your authenticity and that you showed the front of your face, finally took your dang sunglasses off and pulled your hair down and let us see your face because it's pretty.
6 years.
Took 6 years, but she's here. Okay. And I admire that. But what I really admire is something that you and I share this in common, and that we revealed a really deep secret in our books. Mm-hmm. So in your Happily Gray book, you talked about something that you had not, that I'd never heard you share. So maybe if you did share it, I missed it. But I had never shared that I spent 6 months in a treatment program. You had never shared that you had dealt with a lifelong battle with an eating disorder, with mm-hmm. disordered eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I didn't know that until I read your book.
That was the first time I had shared it. And in fact, I wrote 75% of the book. And did not share it. And I got done. No, actually, I wrote the entire book because I finished it at Thanksgiving. And I told my publisher, give me like 3 weeks. Let me take 3 weeks off. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come back and read this after Thanksgiving. And I read the book. And I remember just like sobbing. And it was, I knew in my heart that I couldn't write this book and put this book out there without, it was missing the biggest story, mm-hmm. a full chapter dedicated to this journey that really has made me and has been one of the most important things I have been through to date. And also like the accountability. I preach authenticity and I preach like leaning into the vulnerability, and that's such a big part of my brand Nima now. And I wasn't able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a accountability piece there. And just like, I went back to my publisher and I actually didn't even tell them that I was doing it. I wrote the chapter within 2 weeks and I turned it into them before Christmas. And I said, wow. Hey, this has to be in it. Mm-hmm. I know we're printing in a month, but this has to be in it. The book's not complete without it. And it's chapter 2. And it's the most important piece. And it's actually the piece that more women have connected with that. Mm-hmm. And I've found that connection and community and strength. And not only sharing, but also like what has come of that.
Yeah.
And I this all too well. It's about, at the end of the day, I think if we don't have community, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that piece and opening up and telling that story and what I've learned from it was the best thing that yeah. the best decision I've ever made. Mm-hmm. And it just also gave me more strength, and 'cause it's not, you're not cured. You don't yeah. just get over an eating disorder. It's a lifelong journey
yeah.
of learning and twists and turns and ups and downs. And that's why we need that community.
Yeah.
So it's so important.
Yeah. I admire you for putting that in there. And I know how hard that is. So I knew in my book that I was going to put the recovery piece in there. But they kept wanting me to go deeper into it. They're like, you can't just like scratch the surface and be like, oh yeah, by the way, I spent 6 months in treatment, but here's the happy life on the other side. Yeah. They were like, you have to explain how you got there. And I didn't want to. And I think part of that was innate in me that I just didn't want to, I don't know. It just felt, I was like, I don't want to relive it. But I will say that just like you, it's the part that people have connected to the most. And even people that don't have an issue with drugs or alcohol, but people that have emotional issues or have a spouse that has issues with recovery. Or I spent almost six months in this treatment center, and I spent a lot of time with people with disordered eating. And I can remember, I will never forget this day, that like there was a girl that came in that, you know, had an eating disorder, and I was like, oh, you know, she won't have to spend as much time as we will here, because it seems like that would be an easier thing to get past, because obviously I'd never dealt with it before, and so I didn't know. And one of our counselors was like, this is actually the hardest thing to heal from, because she said, all of you guys can go and put your monsters in the backyard and bury them in a grave, but she has to take her monster, put it in the closet, and 3 times a day hold hands with that monster and bring it to the dinner table with her and eat. And it's like you just said a while ago, it's legal at the grocery store, food is.
I know.
And you have to sit down with people at a table in every single social event, and your drug of choice is sitting right there on a plate in front of you.
It's so interesting that you just said monster, because when I started therapy, or a few years into therapy, one of the therapists that I worked with, she was calling it monster. And I told her, I was like, hey, we got to stop calling it monster, because even though this kind of is a monster in my life, mm-hmm. I got to kind of be friends in a way. Like, mm-hmm. we're together.
Yeah.
And so, like, we've got to figure out how to operate together. But you're right. It is something that you have to, it's a really hard journey. And the secrecy and shame can eat you alive. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I had one woman in my life that held up their hand that said, oh no, I've been there, without me, her knowing that I was there. That was the change in the path for me, and of just having one other woman hold up their hand, yeah. and how powerful that was, because it is so rooted in secrecy and shame. And you go from anorexia to bulimia to binging. There's so many different phases of it. And it's also just, I think women feel like it's messy. They don't want to talk about it. And it's just so, what I learned, how much it was rooted to control in my life.
Yeah.
And then I learned what that control was about. You really have to, it's a hard journey, because it's rarely mm-hmm. about food. It's rarely yeah. about body image. It's so much more about control, and then how that developed in whatever yeah. year or phase of your life. And for me, that was childhood. And so you're never fully healed. I say this in my book. It is a lifelong journey. And if we can share about that and lean into that, it is scary. It's terrifying. That's why I wrote the entire mm-hmm. book without including it. Mm-hmm. But that also was just that lady I'm talking about, she was looking me in the eyes. Like, after I read the entire book, seeing her face in my mind of just, I did that for you, like mm-hmm. stand up for other women. And that it's just been the best thing, the most powerful thing for me in my healing journey too.
Yeah. Like, and I'm sure you're that woman for so many other people.
I've had the best conversations off of it, face to face, in DMs, in mm-hmm. emails, in text, people that I had no idea were struggling, that it's a relief. It's just a relief when you find out you're not the only one, right? Like, it's a relief when you talk about mom stuff and mom guilt and all of, like, community. At the end of the day.
It's also, though, like, you have a daughter. Oh, yeah. You have a daughter and two sons. I now have a daughter. Our orders are reversed. But, like, Navy, I'm sure that piece of it as well, like, you standing up and being like, this is going on with me. Like, what a powerful thing is of an example for a little girl that you're raising in your home.
Truly, truly. How am I going to ever talk to her about it or ever be there to support her if she was to go through this, if I haven't actually been honest? And the big piece of that is accountability and honesty.
Yeah.
That's really where it starts, mm-hmm. is getting honest. And you don't have to get honest with 50 people. It's one person.
Yeah.
There's one person in your life that you can be honest with that can also then hold you accountable.
Yeah.
And that's why group therapy is so important with this sort of addiction.
Yes.
It's not just singular one-on-one therapy. Group therapy is so, and that was one of the scariest things I've ever done in my life, is walk in a room. I was in college. I was in Austin, UT Austin, walking into a room. My parents didn't even know, but walking into a room with 15 other women that I was terrified. And the first probably 10 meetings, I didn't say a word.
Yeah.
But, like, slowly, that is also what softens and allows you to really step into that mm-hmm. vulnerability. But it's a tough journey, and it takes time. It takes time.
Yeah.
But to your point, the accountability piece today is having a daughter.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? Have you ever read the book to your kids, like, that's not my monster?
No.
Oh, you need to get that book. So the whole book is about that he has a monster that sleeps under his bed, but they're friends. And so the whole book is like, they show different monsters and he says, that's not my monster. Like, it's got its claws and its teeth and nothing's right on it. And then at the end he says, that's my monster. And he's like, no, I can go to sleep because it's like a nice monster. It's part of his life. It sleeps under his bed. You need to get that. That'll be an emotional book for you to read.
Yeah, I'll be sobbing while
they're going to be like, Mom, what's with you in this monster book? Oh my gosh. The control piece is an interesting piece for me, because I think that with addiction, with my form of addiction, perfectionism and the need to please people was so big for me. Not as much control, but I hear that over and over, the control piece. I remember mm-hmm. watching like all these Princess Diana documentaries, and they talk so much about her when she finally came out with this mm-hmm. that she had an eating disorder, and people were like shocked. And she always said in like her writings and stuff about control. Like, I feel like it was the only thing she felt like she could control, the control piece. It's very,
that's why I say a lot of times it's not really centered around food. For me, it was just a chaotic environment at a young age.
Yeah.
And that was the piece that the only piece that I could control in that moment.
Yeah.
And then it starts to warp and take grip, and before you know it, you know, you're 10 feet under. And so,
It started in high school, because you dealt with it first in high school and then in college. And then, so it's like it rears its head over and over.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say there's different phases of healing. And if you, it's about connection and opening up. And if you can connect with other women, and it's not like you have to talk about it on social media, camera to camera, you know, face to camera. Yeah. Like, there's all different forms of vulnerability. Yeah. And I remind myself of that a lot, you know, of like, we don't have to spill every bit and piece of our life on social media.
I feel like,
you know, but like there's ways to connect that you can. We have a 24-hour rule in our house. I don't know if y'all do anything like this, but I started this about probably 2 years ago. It was a few years into marriage with Madison, where
shout out to Crunch Labs for sponsoring this portion of the podcast. I don't know about y'all, but my kids love when things get sent to them in the mail. What is better to be sent to them than an educational, interactive subscription box? Crunch Labs is a STEM subscription where your kids get a really fun build-it-yourself toy in the mail. For the summer, Crunch Labs is hosting Camp Crunch Labs, where kids get 12 build-it-yourself toys, one shipped every week, which you know we need during the summer, plus access to exclusive Mark Rober videos and weekly challenges that are full of the juiciest engineering nuggets ever. Growing kids' brains all summer long. Camp Crunch Labs starts in June, so soon, and it will be packed with some amazing engineering nuggets for your children's brains. Plus, there are ongoing challenges that will be available as well. Their slogan is the least boring summer ever, and you will have just that with Crunch Labs. So think about this. How is this going to make your summer the best summer ever for you and your kids? Well, I know my children, and I know getting something in the mail that's going to help their brains that they get to build is going to be truly making them have the best summer ever. So go to crunchlabs.com/livingfully to sign your kids up for Camp Crunch Labs today. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Even though I live for the spring and the summer in the South, that means allergy season is also upon us. And I love being outside with my children as much as possible in our yard, but the allergies are definitely making it tough to enjoy every moment. Luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This is a double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine with the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy watery eyes, itchy nose and throat, sinus congestion, and pressure with ease. I've been taking Claritin D this allergy season, and my allergies are so much better than they were last year. No more watery eyes or itchy throat. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? Well, it's time to get Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription for this medication. So you can go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. If you've been wanting to learn a new language because you're traveling abroad and you want to experience that country beyond just the touristy spots, then Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on most devices like your desktop, phone, tablet, or you can really learn it anywhere. Rosetta Stone teaches you through immersion. Instead of memorizing and drilling vocabulary words, you learn by matching audio from native speakers to visuals. You read stories, you participate in dialogues, and other practical language skills to fast track your ability to communicate fluently. They offer 25 languages from Spanish to French to Italian and German to Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and even Dutch, Arabic, and Polish. Rosetta Stone has been around for 30 years because it works. As you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words too, which is really helpful. It's also an amazing value. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Living Fully listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Visit www.rosettastone.com and use the code TODAY to redeem your 50% off. Again, use the code TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y, at rosettastone.com for 50% off. Trust me, you won't regret learning a new language.
He was just like, I told you, He's my person. He's who holds me accountable. The best thing that's ever happened to me. And we, if anything big or little happens in our life, we wait 24 hours to share it on social media.
That's a great rule.
And it's been huge because it allows you, whether it's good or bad, it allows you to validate and to just experience that as a person or as a family before you seek that validation. Because what I was finding was I was seeking that validation of my online community, which I mean, I love getting to call this a job and having this online community. And so it's tempting and it's hard not to immediately just want to go, But I was losing that touch of like myself and my family. And that's helped us tremendously.
That's a great rule.
Of sharing that piece, whether it's a high, whether it's a low.
Kyle does that with me too. How do you choose what to share publicly versus privately? Like, do you keep some things private? Because I don't.
I think it's really hard.
Unfortunately.
Because I think it's hard to be on camera and to act like nothing's wrong when something's wrong. You know, I think it's really difficult.
That's well said. It is.
To like, how can you be authentic and actually, you know, seem real if it's not? I struggle with that. And again, that kind of comes down to like I said, like 24 hours or just like a conversation with Matt and I, because some stuff is vulnerable because they don't want to be, my husband doesn't want to be on social media. And so there's a bit of a push and pull there of a balance of, you know, what will, what we won't.
Yeah.
It's always a conversation with him.
That's great advice. Okay. Going into balance. I heard on Off the Vine, you were talking to Caitlin, another mutual friend, that you said that 2 weeks after you had your baby, you had all six of your employees in your house working. I mean, I was like, oh gosh, is that bad to do? Because I did the same thing after every single baby. And you know, it is a balance does not become imperative, I feel like, until you have children. It's always important. It's always important. I shouldn't say that. But it becomes more important because there's other people involved when you have a family. And you have, you know, your brand, which is very big. And you've been at a million followers, I feel like, for longer than any of us have.
No, I just hit a million.
Yeah, but you had hit a million, I feel like, before. You seem like you've always been at a million.
That's what people keep telling me. And I'm like, damn, I shouldn't have promoted all this a million. It feels like a big milestone for me, but that so many people have said that, but we grew quickly early on and then it's just hard to grow. It's hard to grow. And so that was yesterday or about a week ago.
Yeah. Well, congrats for getting there again. But I mean, there has to be like something with balance that you have mastered to be able to do it all, because, and we'll talk about Nima in a little bit, but like you also had the Happily Gray store, which my outfit that I'm wearing, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, you'll see my outfit that I have on right now. I bought this at Nima or at Happily Gray at the store that was in L&L Marketplace, that you had to be like, y'all, I don't have time to run this store too, because Nima was getting too big and everything else, you know, and I admire you for taking that, because it's sometimes hard for us to shut the door on things. So how do you balance it all?
Help, support systems, which I still to this day don't know how you don't have more around you, but I mean,
we're working on it.
The first thing is a good group of people around you, and there's no one that enables me more than someone that helps us with childcare. We have a great person that helps with childcare, and that is the peace of mind to really free my mind to be able to do my job. But then I have a great team. I think you're only as good as the people around you, and I'm learning that. Like I'm learning that so deeply and building Nima. There's in building a business from the ground up, there's finance, there's operations, there's management, there's research and development. There's so many different aspects to this business that really, as an operator, your job, once it gets to a certain level, is to put the right people in place. Mm-hmm. And
that are smarter and better than you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't be the expert at all those things. You can kind of be until, you know, you get to that point. But once you're at that point, your job and the success of your company is about who you put.
Yeah.
Putting the right people in the right roles and the right experts. Mm-hmm. And so learning that, and kind of in a way, you know, that applies to life too. But man, like with three kids, balance is hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Matt and I have like had to really lean into like systems, and I will say Madison is the most organized. Like he makes a spreadsheet over everything. It drives me crazy because I'm not that way. But we have Sunday night meetings at 8 o'clock after the kids go down.
Good for you. And we look at the organization. Week ahead.
Well, this is all Madison, but it actually has been we didn't do this with one kid, but now that we have three and we have a startup and, you know, he wants to go do a few social things here and there, and then I want to do that. Like, we have to put it on a calendar. We live and breathe by calendar. Mm-hmm. I don't see how people with three or more or even two kids mm-hmm. don't, especially when they get to the ages where, like, Navy has swim.
They have
things. She has soccer. I'm she like, has this. She has that.
Yeah, I just got my life together. Yeah. Now you guys are going to yes. be bringing your stuff in. Oh, no.
And that's only going to get more and more. And so Sunday nights for 1 hour, 8 to 9, kids are in bed. We go through the calendar of what's coming that next week. And if it doesn't go on the calendar, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, this just happened last week where I was like, hey, I'm going to get, you know, do something with some girlfriends. And he was like, no, mine's on the calendar. Mine's happening. And I'm really terrible at doing that because he's more type A. Yeah. But so that's, I mean, it sounds like kind of simple and easy, but that has helped us as a team, like us being a unit, us reviewing,
right.
and advice. Like just getting on the same page of what the week holds. Because yeah. every week right now with three kids and a fourth being a startup and then another business and partnerships. And
yeah.
it's just, it's packed. And in order for us to be intentional about having the moments, I love to ride horses. Mm-hmm. That's the only mm-hmm. thing that keeps me balanced. That's the only thing that keeps me sane right now is getting that hour
yeah.
a week that we just have to operate that way. Yes. 'Cause Matt has those things too. And really that's a big part of motherhood and running a business is mm-hmm. being able to take a step away and go do things like that, which I didn't do that till about a year ago.
It's great advice.
But I think life has gotten too full now with having a startup and having three kids. You have to take, I didn't know what self-care looked like till yeah. I became a mom.
Yeah.
Motherhood taught me self-care mm-hmm. and taking a step back and doing something for yourself just to clear your head. Mm-hmm. It helps me be a better business owner and mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. And that's great takeaways, too. We do Monday meetings, and our Monday meetings last sometimes 6 hours. But, I mean, we are running two large-scale businesses, and then plus all of my brand. So it's like three full businesses. Mm-hmm. And right mm-hmm. now we've got, you know, 4.5 people, you know, but we need probably 10. But we yeah. like having a small team. But, you know, you get to the point where it's like, whoa. We need mm-hmm. more people, but also we live and breathe by those Monday meetings and that calendar. And I think that's really great advice. Like, intentionality can go so far when you're running 100 miles an hour and just being, you know, sitting down with your spouse, even if your spouse thinks opposite, has an opposite brain than you, and seeing if you can get them to sit down with you for 30 minutes and being like, hey, here's what we have going up.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. Up. It's yeah. huge. It's how we operate now. We kind of live and breathe yeah. by those meetings.
Okay. So this is not... This is a question that I think that we touched on. So I just want you to touch on this one more time. So I think that in your book, I can still remember reading the story about how you were getting ready to get married and getting ready to walk down the aisle, and you were just this little child. And you had a gut feeling that it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is my first marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the second one.
Not the second.
I was 22.
Yeah. So I guess you've learned some lessons in trusting your gut because you didn't always trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about how you've learned to trust your gut and maybe like
yes.
why you didn't back then?
Yeah. And sometimes even today, like after kind of going through multiple experiences like that, my head leads and then, you know, like it's a battle. So I wouldn't say it's like yeah. you have a few experiences like that and you never struggle with it again. But, you know, I think it depends on, I think our body holds score, our body holds count. Like physically, whenever I can't decide what I'm doing, you know, what's the right decision, if I go this way or that way, I think just taking a beat back, even if it's just for 3 hours, 24 hours, listening to your body. It sounds a little like, I have a hard time operating that way because I want to go fast. I want to go furious. And I want to be able to lead in that way. But what's actually more powerful is being able to listen, not just to those around you, but like to your body. And I think our body, there's a lot of like physical energy and power yeah. in that. It's something I want to get more into and have more time to read about and to learn about. But that it's always that physical intuition, the gut, like you feel it deep in the deep depth, you know, that is the answer that yeah. gives you that answer. And I felt that so clearly the day I was walking down the aisle in that small town and 350 mm-hmm. people in that small church. And, you know, but that experience I'm super thankful for. I mean, God, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be who I am today had I not gone through that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the things that set us back, our failures yeah. are so important, because yep. that's really what shapes us. That's yeah. what teaches. That's how we learn. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think it's being able to just take a step back
yeah.
and listen.
And then being brave enough to pivot when you hear your gut, you hear your heart versus your head loud and clear. Everything on your wedding, everybody loved your husband. He was a great guy. He's a surgeon. He, you know, all of the facts lined up, and I'm sure he's a great
truly.
Person. But your heart was saying something different. And it's just like, you know, eventually your heart was telling you to pivot in a way, and you did pivot. And I think that the pivot is, unfortunately, something that a lot of people don't quite get to or complete.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard. I had no one on my team when I was making that decision.
Yeah, because your family loved
him. Then there was nothing like, you know, there wasn't infidelity. There wasn't any big things wrong, especially outwardly facing. I mean, there was a lot there, but I think that everyone looked at me like I was crazy. Yeah. And but I felt that so strongly and so deeply that I kind of put my head down mm-hmm. and I kept telling my mom, I know this is the right thing. I know this is the right thing for me. And you just really have yeah. to, you really have, it's a very courageous, and it really, you know, you find out what you're made out of when you go through something like that. I wrote a lot. I journaled a lot. That was what kind of gave me clarity and grounded me, was writing.
Yeah.
I think you got to figure out, and running too. I think you have to figure out, as you're going through the pivot, you have to have moments of release. And for me, to kind of get through those highly emotional, difficult times, were writing and running. And that can look different for everyone. Maybe
great
it's
advice.
A mentor. Maybe it's a, you
great
know,
advice.
It's a friend that you can just be really honest with. For me at that time, I didn't really have anyone in my life. I met my best friends like 5 years ago, I felt like. My
yeah.
best friends in life that I know that I will be with till I die came later in life. And I think whatever that outlet is, it's important to really lean into that.
Yeah, for sure. And like another pivot that I have read and that I've heard you talk about on podcasts is your birth story. And I want to talk about this because I think a lot of women have an idea of how they want their birth to go. And then it goes another way. Hey, my sister-in-law is sitting here right now and she had the same thing happen to her. And it's like, you know, that is something that you had to pivot your thinking. But then in that pivot, like your whole brand, Nima, was born, I feel like. So talk mm-hmm. a little bit about your birth story with Navy. You really wanted this natural birth. It is
yeah.
not how it went.
Yeah. No, I was going in with like no epidural. I'm mm-hmm. going
to good for you.
Birth in the
not
tub.
Me.
I had a lot of, I mean, leaving nursing school, my thesis leaving, the paper I wrote was all about the effects of epidural and natural birth.
What?
And oh yeah, no, I was committed. I was so excited to have this experience. And I mean, but I was going to be in a hospital. I wasn't like, I didn't want to do the home birth. I still wanted to be in a hospital, but I had a lot of things that were supposed to happen. I had my plan. And the biggest thing motherhood has taught me is you have to like release that control, because you really don't have control in that moment. Mm-hmm. I had a great pregnancy. It was kind of a breeze and I was so thankful for that. And I just kind of thought I would walk into having this kid and, mm-hmm. you know, per the plan. And I had an emergency C-section. I had 10 people in the room. It went south like that. And I couldn't even get my jewelry off quick enough. And Navy was out within 15 minutes later.
Wow.
And it would just, it all happened so fast. I didn't know what had happened.
Yeah.
And I had so many drugs in the OR that I got out. And the first really 48 hours of that was just a blur. But I was, the one thing I've ever wanted in life is to be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think my passion for wanting to take care of people as a nurse kind of came from that just desire of motherhood. And it felt like Christmas, but I couldn't hardly remember any
yeah.
of it. And I was just so out of it. But I remember getting home. It was our third night home. And I was getting into bed, like, you know, crawling into bed with this massive wound. And, you know, finally, like, really feeling the pain after all those meds that had left. And I just started weeping. And I am not, Matt's seen me cry maybe 5 times in life. Like, I'm just not, I mean, I have those emotional moments, but it doesn't usually come through tears. And I just was uncontrollably crying. And I felt such guilt and shame that I was holding on to for feeling like almost like I'd failed her. It didn't go as planned. And man, there's so many lessons I've learned in that, in the aftermath of that, after that, you know, that first year of becoming a mother, that motherhood is really about relinquishing that control. And there's so many things that you can put in place, but at the end of the day, we can't control everything. Yeah. And that was really the start of that journey for me.
Yeah.
And like, I should have felt proud. I should have felt, you know, proud of myself that I, you know, but you know, I didn't.
That's
much
reality,
of that.
And I admire you for the vulnerability in telling that story. Because a lot of women go in with a birth plan, and it goes a different way, and they just kind of brush it under the rug. But like, there are so many emotions.
So many emotions. And I was ready to just keep on going, you know, leap into motherhood. And it was as if, again, my body was telling me, "No, you're going to deal with this." Mm-hmm. It didn't go as planned, and you can have the moment. And this is the first step into realizing that motherhood isn't always about like planning every detail.
Yeah.
We have to release that control. Yes. And so that was the first lesson for me in that.
Okay. And then you have the C-section scar.
Yeah. So I had the C-section scar. Didn't
so
know what to do with it.
It every single day.
I know, looking at it. And I mean, I just never, and that's kind of the funny part that I laugh at myself now. Like, I never thought I would have a C-section scar, and now I've had 3, but I was shocked when I went to find, you know, the products for it. I could not believe the disparity of like, where's my scar cream? And okay, so where's the clean one? Where's the one that has all the science? Because I, anytime with skincare, I'm reading about the ingredients. I'm reading about the science. I think the nursing side of why I got into that really gives me that passion. And I was reading and looking for that, and I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, the one off at Ulta, but it was like, I was like, wait, what is this? This looks like my grandfather used it. I want something that like is beautiful, and the experience of using it feels elevated. And I have that with Merit and Tata Harper and Drunk Elephant. You know, the options are endless, but I just couldn't believe that mothers during the most vulnerable period, and also the most transformational period, and also the most drastic shift in buying habits, that we are so discerning of those ingredients, of what we're putting on our skin and our baby's skin, that didn't exist. And so, man, when that clicked for me, because I'd kind of experienced that with stretch cream in pregnancy, and then the scar was really just the second layer of that. I looked at Madison and I was like, this is what I'm doing. I finally know what I want to do with the line, because I knew I wanted my own product line. I actually thought it was going to be apparel. And that moment for me, it was like my journey with nursing, this digital world now, it just all connected in that moment of, okay, this is how I can take care of moms and hopefully bring a product that moms can trust.
Yeah. And I am now the Kardashians are using it. It's in their baby's bags. And like every time I like see something come up on social media, I'm like, oh my gosh, Kourtney Kardashian packed Nima in her baby bag. Like,
and she just keeps talking about it. And it's, I'm like, what?
And it's not like
amazing.
A partnership. It's just like, she
no,
just
it's
loves
not a partnership.
It. So when
it's
I
amazing.
Started using it, you know, like I got Nima because I was like, well, I'm friends with Mary and like, I'm going to support her by using her product. And then like, you already know this. I loved that stretch mark.
You've been
cream.
One of our biggest champions of that stretch mark cream.
But
we just kept giving you tubes of
it. I know. Because I was like, Mary, running out. I mean, I would get 3 at a time.
I know.
Because when I was pregnant with Sunday, I was like, this, if I had to say one product that, like, I was so bummed that I didn't have the first 2 pregnancies that I have now, it was the Nima stretch mark cream. And
that's
I'm
amazing.
Not just saying that because you're sitting here or because you're my friend or because any other fact that I absolutely love
that.
That
makes
that
me so happy.
Product.
I mean, that was like the mission. Support women.
I
clean
love
products.
That product.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
I love that product. And here's the thing, okay? I appreciate people that are all organic and all clean. I'm not 100% all organic and all clean. Maybe one day. I don't know. We'll see. Every once in a while, they're like, hey,
next
this
season?
Chemical's going to work a little bit better for you. I'm like, okay, give me the chemical. But I appreciate that. But if there's a time in my life where I do want the clean stuff, especially if I'm rubbing it on my stomach, there is a baby in there, that is the baby's house, it is that time.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
And
clean
that
ingredients.
Scar cream works. Like, it is a really killer product. Even like the nipple
and lip balm. I mean, I use it every day. It's like, it's really an ointment that is healing wherever. Yeah. Elbows, kids' cheeks. Like,
I use it everywhere.
We develop in the EU, and man, we're so lucky to work with this incredible manufacturer there that all they care about. I mean, you know, the EU, the standards are higher, mm-hmm. unlike here. Mm-hmm. And that was the mission of the brand.
Yeah.
Clean ingredients, science-backed, active ingredients. And so we found that over there, and we're just lucky to have gotten to work with them to create these products.
It is really a killer line. And I love the packaging, and I love the mission, and I love the imagery, and I love the branding. Oh. It's just all the parts of you and the things that you're good at just came to the surface with this brand. And I think that this is part of your legacy is leaving a legacy for mothers. I love it that it was born of a pivot, because it's so much encompassing of your story and your the control piece of your story. Gosh, and losing truly. Control. And then, like, isn't it so funny the things that we go through in life, but how they really work for us?
I know. It's those failures. It's when you're in the trenches, that is shaping you for whatever's next. And that's so valuable. And so like the more valuable. We can lean into that, as hard as it is, the better.
Yeah. What is the legacy of Happily Gray?
Happily Gray was born out of, yes, it's been a store, and there's been capsule collections and those sort of things, but it's really the whole thing that inspired it was individuality and leaning into whoever you are and whatever inspires you and staying true to that, mm-hmm. and just feeling empowered by that. I want that for my daughter. And that was where that passion lied for me. So I hope that women find community in just whoever they are. And like you said earlier at the beginning of this podcast, like not being afraid to just lean into that. Like we don't all want to look the same. Mm-hmm. Like wear your cowboy boots.
You forget that.
Forget it. But that's what makes it beautiful. And that's also what makes community so beautiful, where we can learn. I don't want to be best friends with everyone that's like me. I want to be friends with people that are different from me, so we can learn from each other, and our community looks colorful in different ways. And I think, you know, that's always been the heart of Happily Gray, of wanting to bring together that community. And it's about a feeling and a mood and just really honoring that.
Okay, if you could, this is the last question, if you could put any message on a billboard for people to see while they're driving down the interstate,
ooh.
What would that be?
Gosh, this is a... honestly, it was probably what I tattooed on my... I don't have a lot of tattoos, but probably this. B.
I didn't know you had that
B,
tattoo.
B, period. I got this during my divorce. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people see it and they think it means like, be you, be who you are. But it really means to be present in the moment and whatever's happening now, whether it's good, whether it's bad. And at that point in my life, I felt like I was in the trenches. I was in the trenches. And I had this like just message that kept coming back to me of just be here, mm-hmm. be here, go through this, lean into this, explore this. And I loved it so much. I tattooed it on my body, which my parents hated.
Don't you do it. That's what a reminder to yourself, to people. I mean, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah, I put it here specifically, and I faced it towards me because that was really the whole point. I'm not, I'm not infatuated with tattoos. It was more of like, I want to know in every season of life, I really want to remember being present, and whether it's good or whether it's bad, just really honoring that time.
What a great podcast. It was awesome to be with you, Mary Lawless Lee.
I love you. I'm inspired by you. I literally, like, your energy and your light and your vulnerability, like, it's inspiring to other women. That it's infectious and it's inspiring. And, like, just wish that we had more time.
I know.
Always wish we had more time together.
I know. We say that every time we're around each other, don't we? We got to make some more time.
I know.
Put it in your calendar.
I know. Our Sunday meetings. We got to get our families together. Let these kiddos.
I know. I want to come and see that new house. This was an incredible conversation. Such a great reminder of trusting your gut, overcoming not failures, but those trench moments in our life, of reminding ourselves to just be present in our lives. So many amazing things that we've talked about today. And I just really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
I will link everything, Mary Lawless Lee. You can find her on Instagram, on your website. I'm going to link Nima in particular. Even if you are not about to have a baby, if you know someone that's about to have a baby, this is just the most incredible gift.
Our pregnancy set's our best-selling set because it's kind of a one and done. It's the stretch and the oil.
Uh-huh.
and it's everything you need. Layer both of them on. Mm-hmm. A lot of our customers are buying it for other people.
Yes. Uh-huh. And the shampoo and body wash that I use for my children, because now you have the children's line. And I love the packaging. I just love it.
They're
love
so it. Cute.
Well, thank you so much. This was an amazing conversation. And thank you guys for listening and just kind of being a fly on the wall with me and my friend Mary's conversation about all things life and motherhood and business. And I hope that this conversation helped you somewhat live fully in your own life today. I will link everything in the show notes, and thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week. Hey friend, if you're loving the show, I'd love to hear from you. Head to your podcast app, scroll down to where it says ratings and reviews, and share your thoughts well with a rating and review. Your words might be just what the next person needs to tune in and start living fully today.